If Latinos sit out the election, instead of saying we're going to punish our enemies and we're going to reward our friends who stand with us on issues that are important to us, then I think it's going to be harder.
What we've got to do is fight in Congress, fight in the courts, fight in the streets, fight online, fight at the ballot box.
Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
You are listening to the Laura Ingraham Show, 855-40-LAURA. Punish your enemies. From Barack Obama, blow up the White House. Just a few of the expressions about Republicans. We've heard the resistance, you know, blank Trump on placards, the resistance to any collaboration in a positive manner with Republicans, Trump being mock beheaded, Trump being stabbed on a Broadway, off-Broadway Shakespeare in the Park presentation, to the thunderous applause of leftists across the United States. And yet today, on MSNBC, Mika Brzezinski, she actually started the show by blaming Donald Trump for the rhetoric that led to the shooting yesterday.
What Bill Clinton did to the issue of sex to an entire generation, I believe this president is doing on issues of decency, on issues of conspiracy theories, on issues of fake news. I think it's that simple,
and we're
desensitized if we even argue it.
Joining us now, Congressman Mark Walker, North Carolina congressman, Republican, who was present at that baseball practice yesterday morning. Where Congressman Steve Scalise and others were shot. Congressman Scalise from Louisiana remains in critical condition. The bullet did not exit his pelvic area, but did major damage, we understand, on the inside. And lots of organs in there, obviously. We all know intestines and so forth, and he's going to require multiple surgeries. Congressman Walker, it is so good to have you on today, and I'm glad you're safe, but I could not sleep last night thinking about all of you, how vulnerable you were yesterday on that field, and thanking the good Lord that you had a detail with you, two Capitol Police officers who reacted as they were trained to do so bravely. Congressman, thank you for being with us.
Well, certainly, Laura. Thank you. And thank you for all your work in speaking truth day in and day out. It is interesting. I just was teasing Steve Scalise a couple of weeks ago about him traveling with a detail. But there is no doubt in my mind this morning that there would be 15 to 20 members of Congress deceased had those two individuals not only been there, but performed the heroic actions that they performed as well. As a pastor for nearly two decades, it's interesting because you counsel people, you walk with people that go through different crises. The city county, the residents, or as the adrenaline is working off today, just seeing a little bit of heaviness this morning is still impactful for many of us.
Did you pray right? Did you start to pray immediately when this started to happen? And in the first gunshots, it's just a shock. But you must have all been praying. The moment you saw Scalise go down.
Well, the guys that I had finished pitching, I have a chance to pitch in the game this evening and for the third year in a row since I've been here in Congress. But yeah, I think a lot of it is adrenaline. You don't have to close your eyes and get on your knees to be praying in those kinds of situations. That's for sure. But just listen, Dr. Brad Winstrup, an Army veteran, shared the other day about losing his first Marine on the table, his actions, and so many of them, that several members laying over the 10-year-old that was there, the son of the Coach Barton. It's just a shame. I got trolled yesterday because by 7:30, 7:40, I had put some kind of statement out saying this was an intentional attack on Republican congressmen for that being too partisan. But this is a guy that's been sitting in the YMCA parking lot. Now that we see his picture yesterday, kind of hanging out there. So it wasn't just about yesterday, but the last 6 weeks, this guy has been plotting this attack on Republican congressmen. And I don't understand why that's a partisan statement.
No, it's not a partisan statement. And as everyone's having their kumbaya moment, which is fine. We also have to speak the truth about what is going on, what has been happening at a time where we're seeing an unprecedented resistance to any type of legislative cooperation between the parties. A resistance I mean, I'm hearing stories about just general, you know, positive pieces of legislation which would help everybody. I mean, everybody in an aggrieved area, years ago would just be, oh, of course we agree together. Let's get this done. And I'm hearing these stories from multiple sources that Democrat staffers are approaching Republican staffers and saying, in any other circumstance, we would work with you on this legislation, but now we can't. Does that sound accurate to you, Congressman?
I think it's very accurate, Laura. You talked about years ago that simple things worked out. Well, years ago, people celebrated life and protected it. Years ago, people believed in fiscal and personal responsibility. So we've seen this drip. I had a reporter ask me this morning, does this move you on your positions? No, it doesn't move me on my positions. We have to dig in. Now obviously, we can as leaders, be disciplined and maybe some of the rhetoric that's used, but it's not just coming out of Washington, D.C. It's coming from different outlets that many times they use it for profit. I can guarantee you this morning, if this was any kind of an attack that could have been in some even a remote way traced back to somebody who was Republican or conservative, that would have been the lead. But now it's the narrative, well, we don't really know what this guy's motives are. We've got to continue to do research. This guy and other people like him, they get incited by this language and by this lingo. Part of a resistance movement, if you do your historical study on this, and I know you do, even that's based in a violent background as far as pushing back against the Nazi Germany. This level of language is being used against conservative thought, especially the last 6 or 7 months, has picked up to a feverish pitch that I've never seen in my lifetime.
Now, it is a fever pitch, and it's meant to intimidate, and it's meant to terrorize. There's a terroristic element to what is being done on the far left, and it's being funded by billionaires on the left. It's being supported by global interests who don't like the America First agenda, and they want this president gone. And I think when you tell people day in and day out that our survival depends on getting Trump out of office, we've actually heard people on MSNBC and other networks ask the question, can we survive Trump? Now, if you're in your house and maybe you've lost your job and you're down in the dumps, you have some issues, and you hear someone on TV day after day saying, I don't know if we can survive. Tim Kaine says we need to fight in the streets. Barack Obama says punish your enemies. Yeah. What does that say to people?
Well, I think eventually it's one of the reasons the guy posted it's time to destroy Donald Trump and company. Republicans are the Taliban. This is how this is interpreted, yet it's so hypocritical, Laura, because many of the people on the left will preach the same message, but their actions, they're the ones many times inciting some of this behavior. Now, at the end of the day, they will tell you, well, we didn't condone violence, but what has happened, some of this speech has so incited the left that these people like this guy, they're believing they're doing something just for their country. That's the madness that we're seeing.
Well, I think in the end, the complaints about the Tea Party in 2010, 2009, I was at a lot of these rallies and spoke at some of the Tea Party rallies. And I remember at the time, people like Chris Matthews and others, Congressman Walker, were saying, oh, the violence. These people are walking around with sidearms going to rallies. There was never any violence at the Tea Party rallies. There was never – they even picked up their trash afterward, Congressman.
They even tried to fabricate some of it, and looking back, there was never any proof. Listen, I go to church with these people. I grew up with these people. I work with these people. I eat with these people. These are my family. These people care about their country and were willing to speak out against it. But to try to draw any parallel with the perversion, with the vitriolic, with the language, it's night and day. There's no question about it.
This was something that was tweeted at me yesterday, Congressman, after the shooting. Too bad you don't play baseball. From someone on Twitter, isn't that lovely?
They were talking about hitting you in the head with a pitch or something with the reference there.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
That's Well, as RSC chairman, we're going to continue to talk about this and making sure that our messaging is not just this mindset, thank you, may I have another. We've got to start being more vocal and pushing back on some of this. If you were to listen inside of our conference this morning where I just stepped out, some of the stories of what people are encountering, some of the threats, chalk outlines on people's driveway, threatening a 20-month-old baby girl by one member Schweiker here, it has gotten out of control. And I think the mindset is, are we going to continue to take this land out? Are we going to start speaking out and pushing back? Obviously, as leaders, there's a certain statesmanship component that reminds us of Reagan, but that doesn't refrain us or remove us from being able to speak the truth. And that's what we must stay focused on.
Congressman, there has been a push in recent years, and now once again, and this is raised by really smart people, that the president should himself make it a priority to ask Congress for a piece of legislation that would authorize concealed carry for congressmen in the District of Columbia, or perhaps for all of the District of Columbia, overriding the D.C. government, which has one of the worst records, Second Amendment records in the country. And the people are sitting ducks in Washington, D.C., because the only thing you can have is a shotgun in your house. You got to go through hell and high water to get that. And meanwhile, you go, you know, you're let's say you were on the mall and you were playing a frisbee or baseball on the mall, which I used to do. You're just sitting ducks out there. And, you know, you have to wait for someone to come rescue you. And in this case, you had two people, but a lot of people don't. But what about that right for every congressman to carry in D.C., congressman and senator in D.C., a concealed weapon, a constitutional right to defend yourself?
It's imperative that here we have, some of us come from districts where we have the opportunity. I'm a concealed weapon permit holder myself. Richard Hudson, my colleague from North Carolina, has that piece of legislation pretty close to being drafted. He's already tried to push it one time. Got a little bit of resistance. But I think right now we have an open opportunity to be able to, goodness gracious, a lot of us don't have an opportunity to travel with security. So the fact that we should be able to offer and have an opportunity to practice our Second Amendment, to be able to keep, to arm ourselves in a concealed way, I think is certainly common sense at this point.
To me, it's just an obvious. I mean, other than that, okay, so the Democrats are going to be authorizing security for every single congressman, 538 people, senators and congressmen? Okay, that's going to be a pretty penny.
Well, not only that, as I said, I spent two decades as a pastor before I got fed up with what was going on in Washington and ran 3 years ago. But I will tell you this, I need to be accessible to the people. I don't want this arm of, I mean, that's part of what a representative does. You get out there, I did four town halls 2 weeks ago in one day. It's our opportunity to get out there. And if we have a place where we're walking around where we've got a detail or entourage of six or seven arms, that to me, that's not what this country was founded on. Now, should a member have the right to be able to protect themselves? Yes. But I need to be out there working and listening to the people. That's part of our job.
Congressman Nancy Pelosi yesterday spoke about threats and prayer. Let's listen.
The Ryan budget voucherizes Medicare.
No, that's not the right bite. That's not the right bite.
I can say that quite clearly have been probably the target of more, well, I'm the political target and therefore the target of more threats than anyone, perhaps other than the President of the United States, Barack Obama. And so I prayed for Barack Obama. And now I continue to pray for him. And I pray for Donald Trump. That his presidency will be successful, and that his family will be safe.
Congressman, your thoughts on that? Is that heartfelt? Is she going to change?
Well, I'm trying to keep a spirit of solidarity, but I will tell you this. I was about 20 feet in the house when she was making those comments. That's the first time I'd heard anything about her praying for Donald Trump to be successful. I hope it is. You know, it's hard to judge the heart. But sometimes you have to watch the actions more than the rhetoric.
Congressman, I'm so grateful that you had a chance to come on and share your thoughts today. Yesterday's horrific story. I mean, you all could have been killed. Congressman Mark Walker, thank you so much. Come back soon. Prayers to you and your family, Congressman Scalise, everyone in Congress. Stay safe. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.